beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. Child of the one source, child of light, divine. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me, and many other names as well, Sananda being one of them. And it is in great joy that I come to abide with you this evening in your timing, as you have chosen to call me forth. Great joy of reunion. That is what this week has been all about, remembrance and reunion, coming to that place that says, I am all, I am everything, I am the spirit that activates every form, most beautiful. The angelic presence is alive and well. I think we will start off with an opening of questions, because I know that you have come. I can see the question marks around the heads, and ones are wondering, will I get my question asked and answered? So we will start with that first, because that is important. Aha, there is a chair coming forward. Oh, well done.
Saves time if everybody comes up here.
Yes. And you are going to start it off.
I'm going to start because I have a question about somebody else. Ina from the Chicago area sends greetings and love to the rest of the Ascension Gang.
Yes.
She attended a couple of the Whistler advances many years ago. Mm-hmm. In 2006, I asked you a question regarding her bout with cancer. She says your answer has sustained her for the past 13 years, and she would like an update. She has rejected her last very toxic option to stop multiple myeloma cancer. She has 7 old tumors and 5 new ones. A hip joint needs to be replaced, but that is not possible because her bones don't heal anymore. She recently had a hearty sneeze and a twist, which broke 2 ribs that are not healing. She has a high tolerance. She has a high tolerance for pain, and her organs are still healthy. She spends as much time as possible outdoors. She used to walk 3 miles in an hour, but now walks 1 mile in an hour with a cane. She is preparing to leave and wonders if she will still be around another 5 months for her 85th birthday next March. She says, I am a stubborn lady, and I am leaving on my terms, not on cancer's terms. She was hoping to be here this week, but decided it was physically impossible. She just read your recent message about the next few years and says she wouldn't mind staying around to experience it. She actually wants to stay, even if it is very painful for her body. She wonders if she could get a life extension, if she can support the awakening. And my question is, has Ina accomplished all she came to do this lifetime, and is there any benefit for her or others that she stick around for a few more years?
Yes. Yes. She has accomplished all that she set out to do and more. And there is a desire on her part to keep on accomplishing. So my message to her and to all of you, in truth, is that even if the body is laid down and left to do its thing, you keep on with the work that you are doing, such as what the angels do. They do not need the bodies, the heavy bodies, to drag around. It is the same with Ina. She very much is the angelic presence, very stubborn, yes, very determined, so that she has stayed longer than what some of the professionals who supposedly know had predicted. But When it gets to a place where she is not comfortable, she has permission, her own permission, not anyone else's, but her own, to allow the body to be left behind, discarded, and not to have to worry about the body. She will keep on working from the next realm because she is a very determined personage. And many lifetimes she has been the one who gathered all of the children, all of the villagers, and gave them inspiration. She is a very, as she put it, a very strong lady. It will be on her terms. But soon, but not too soon, because if she wants to stay for the next birthday, she will stay. But allow her to know that she does not have to. There is no place written in stone that you'll have to keep on when the body is dragging. She will always be interested in what is going on here. She will always be lending her love and her energy, as you do, even after you leave the body. The body is very good for moving around. It's very good for the spoken tones. But it is not necessary for communication, and it is not necessary for the sharing of love, which she is very good at doing. She is loved by many. So tell her, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking. Okay, well, I see we have the physical order here.
Please stand up.
Yes, that is why he put this obstacle in the way.
Yeah.
Most interesting. It looks like it might be a bed for a...
Is there a microphone?
Well, yes, yes, very soft. Well, beloved one, what would you ask?
Ah, Joshua, thank you so much for spending so much time with us this week.
It has been my pleasure.
Very heart-opening.
Yes.
This afternoon we talked about different times and different places and different lifetimes and so on. And I would like to ask you about a specific time.
Right.
And hear from your perspective what was going on there. It's referred to sometimes as the burning times.
Yes.
And this is 300 years. Where over 9 million people worldwide were put to death. And I know that we probably have all had lifetimes during that time.
Right.
And that time and the fear and so much going on then has affected us.
Yes.
In a way that we're still healing from today.
There is a memory.
I know that I've been letting go of a lot.
Right.
From that time of persecution, and I just wanted to hear from you about that time and perhaps what you experienced during that time and what you'd like to say about it and about healing.
Right, and that is what it was all about healing, about allowing the old perceptions in truth to be burned away. There was perception that I am the body, and if something happens to the body, that's the end of me. But you, individually and collectively, went through this time, and several lifetimes within this time period, you gave up the body through the process of the burning, because you wanted to know if this is burned to an ash, where am I? And you found that you were still alive. The spirit of you is always and forever ongoing. And so you experience the burning times, as you have called it. Sometimes, for some of you, once was enough. For some of you, you absented yourself and went to another galaxy and said, I'm just going to watch that. And then for some of you, you went through it several times in order to know completion with it, to know that truly I am not the body. I thought I was the body. The body yells at you from time to time, as it is doing with the friend who just asked the question through the written question. And you think that the body is in control. But in truth, you are in control always. The decision is always yours. Sometimes the body can come to the place, as with the incineration, where you want to be finished with it. And you allow the spirit to ascend. Not in the ways that we were speaking this afternoon about ascension, but you allow the spirit to ascend out of the body. So it was a time of completion. I will not say cleansing, because there was nothing that needed to be cleansed. But one's oftentimes made example several lifetimes, would reincarnate, as you call it, and go through the same process to show that, truly to prove to themselves that I am not the body. Hey, I'm still alive. I am still feeling, thinking, expressing in a different way, but still alive. The body is not you. The body is your covering. It is what you use to express, but it is not you. You are forever ongoing. But sometimes it takes more than one example of it. And for some, they were willing to go through it several times in order to prove that the spirit is mightier than the body.
Were you there?
Of course I was there. There is no separation.
Can you tell us about, were you incarnated during that time, and what?
No, I had already done my bit with the body and the incarnation. I could take incarnation at that time, but I did not volunteer to extinguish the body that way. I had already done my, what you call, demonstration of it. I knew that I am not the body, but I knew that the body serves well for what you want to express. And was I there? Yes. Did I receive ones as they gave up the body? Yes. I received them home, capital H. I received them into my arms and expressed to them the love that they are.
I still have a lot of questions about that, because there was so much, I guess, through time, I think that it seems that it's that energy is still being held on to.
For some it is, yes. And for others, no. They are finished with it.
Because it changed a lot of, it changed the power dynamics in the world.
Yes.
Until today.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And there is a remembrance of it, a soul memory of it, yes.
So do you have any advice for people today?
Love. Trust. Be. Because always, I make you a guarantee. I make you a promise that always you will be taken care of. If the body be thrown into hell, there am I with you. If the body be cut up in pieces, there am I with you. If the body suffer in any way, there am I with you. Always and forever, past the knowing of time, that is forever. So, yes, as ones will make for themselves a reality that seems most horrendous, always I am with you. So if there is a physical sensation that you go through, and ones go through much of sorrow in giving up the body, no matter how it is done, remember, I am there. Call upon me, and it will not feel so horrendous. Call upon me, and instantly, I am there, and I will offer you my help. Not to extinguish the physical, but my help as my love. Thank you for asking. This is something that you get into very deeply as you identify with the physical. You make for yourself a body, and then you make for yourself all kinds of challenges with the body. And it is to prove to you that you are not the body, that the body is your creation. Some of you will allow parts of the body to be excised and taken away, and you find, I am still. I am. Bottom line, finished. I am. Some of you will allow the body to be cut up into little pieces, devoured by the huge animal, thrown to the lions. Some of you were quite courageous or didn't feel like you had a choice as you were thrown to the lions, the hungry ones. Some of the other ones you made friends with and treated them as a small pet, although they were bigger than you. The body is your creation. There is no guilt attached to it. If later on the body seems to have a life of its own and seems to go through a deterioration, there is no guilt in it. Oftentimes, ones, if they suffer a debilitating physical problem, they think, well, if this is my creation, why am I so stupid? Why am I creating this? I have heard you say that with many circumstances. Why am I... If I'm creating this, why am I creating it this way? In truth, to know your power as the spirit that creates. It's just, if you can look at it and say, well, this is just one more way that I am creating something, and say, wow, I didn't know I was this versatile. And take a bit of truth from all of it, proving to you that, yes, you do create from time to time certain seeming impediments to come through. It is not always pleasant if the body is screaming at you, but you are above and beyond the screams and the body. Hard to remember, I know, when the body is screaming at you. But if you will do what we were practicing slightly today, the ascension process, and allow yourself to rise above the body, then it is a bit easier to tolerate. It doesn't happen on the first try usually, though. Sometimes it is more difficult. The body is a challenge. Oftentimes there is something in the body that feels like it used to be better. What's the matter? Can I reverse course, and perhaps I'll be at the place where everything is working in order? Or do I see the blessing that is in it?
Or both.
Or both. Exactly. It is up to you. You are the powerful one. Yes, you may approach. I do not bite often.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have been feeling for a while now that I was part of the Holy Family. Just feeling much more connection there.
Yes.
And was just, have some ideas, but wonder if you could tell me who I was there in that Holy Family.
Well, I will not. It is for you to have more of a knowing of who you are.
I have that.
Yes. Then I will say to you, you are correct. in it. For me to tell all of you, you have questions. You want to know, who was I in another lifetime? I know that I was close to you. I know I prayed to you. I know that everything was special about me as my relationship with you. Or not. I mean, in different ways. Okay. But for me to say yes or no, you were this, you were that, is still in the realm of possibility. But if you say to me, I know who I was, I will say to you, you are right. Because you know it, you have claimed it. That is the important part of the question, is the claiming of the answer. Now, do you know that the face, the visage of you, is changed from the time you came to ask the question just a few moments ago? The face has changed. There is a radiance, a smile on the face, and a radiance of knowing. Because you have claimed it, and it is yours. Mm-hmm. Now that we have this... I get into housekeeping from time to time. Right. There. Much better. I welcome you into my heart. Thank you. Now, I can hold this until the next one approaches. Will that satisfy?
Yes. If they stand right here.
You should probably put an X on the... No, you better not.
Even with it.
Okay, even with that.
Piece of chalk. Piece of chalk.
Then Timothy would have to erase the chalk.
Good evening.
Good evening, and it is.
Yes, it is. This is a completely different topic, but it fascinates me.
Good.
It occurred to me that in the Arctic, there are Inuit living there.
Right.
And they are...
So been there for a long
lots
time.
And lots of people living on the ice,
right.
living in homes there. In Antarctica, there are none except the research stations... there are no indigenous peoples there. And if you look at the map, Antarctica spreads from one side of the world to the other. It's bigger than, like, it would be the size of the Pacific Ocean. It's very enormous. And I was wondering if it was in the past tense, something like Atlantis or Lemuria or some warm climate, because apparently there are relics down there
yes.
that they've discovered. And could you talk a little bit about that? Both. Talk about why there's no people there, and number two, the relics that are there.
Right. Well, to answer your first question, why there are not people there, they fell off.
Well, thank you. I walked into that one.
There were people there at one time, and the climate was very different. Your scientists who do the excavation type thing, and also the, what do you call when you do the magnetic sound type resonance?
Sonar.
Yes, okay. They have detected that there are the buildings, the houses, that are there in the ice because the climate has changed
right.
over a long period of time. The people got in their boats. The people got into their spirit and went somewhere else. And you have, there's going to be a resurgence of people going there as climate changes. Because over a long period of time, it's not going to be tomorrow, but over a period of time, there's going to be much that will be changing. And the people, the Inuits, as you call them, they are going to migrate. And at some point in time, a long time from now, they're not going to be the people in the northern hemisphere. They will have migrated to the southern. And then someone is going to stand up and say, why are there no people in the northern? You have a saying in your world, and it seems to be quite true, that history repeats itself. So some of that will be happening.
There's also some talk of a spacecraft that is lodged in the ice down there, and that's why the president and Harry and William and all of the people that can go, because they have money, have gone down there to take a look at this. Is there any truth to your knowledge in that? And did you go to Antarctica as well?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you did?
Well, of course. Why would I miss out on one of the tourist spots? But yes, Mary and I did go there. And we did walk. We walked the Americas, yes, but we also walked Antarctica and a lot of the other continents as well. And some continents that you do not have extant in this time as well.
Oh,
some,
okay.
Because you see, again, you are the maker of your reality.
Right.
You are the maker of time. You are the maker of whatever you want to experience. And so I have explained at another time that we walked across what is now the Bering Sea from the Far East over to Alaska, what you know as Alaska.
Right.
And how did we do that? Because now it is all water. We went back in time to the place where there was the ice age, and we walked on the ice. Can you do that? Of course you can do that.
Wow.
You are making this evening as we go along. I know that boggles the mind, because the mind is encased not only in the skull, but in the thinking. The mind says, well, it has to be such and such. But no, moment by moment, you make your reality. You don't want to accept that, because there is a heavier responsibility that says, if I am making my reality and it is such a mess, I don't want to accept it. Well,
right.
In the first place, it's not a mess, but anyway.
Okay, well, thank you.
Right. That's the point. I think he's got it. Okay.
Thank you.
So, to answer your...
I will. Someone's standing there.
Just to answer what?
To answer your question fully, in the process of time, Antarctica is going to melt, and there is going to be evidence of civilization that is buried now. And it will come to light in time. And be repopulated, yes.
Somebody already knows about it, though, I think.
Many of us do. We just...
The spaceships.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I read that you had said the current U.S. president was very brave before he came into this lifetime with his soul agreement for this lifetime. And it certainly is an interesting drama to observe.
Right.
I just wondered if you had any comments on how the script is going to play out.
No. It has not been written yet. There are certain indicators that say that it's going to go in a certain direction, and certain things are going to happen. But in truth, every moment is free for choice. And one can say, based on past choices, this is probably how it's going to go. But at the last moment before the decision is made, sometimes things change. So no, I do not predict. I did early on. I predicted because I thought I was really tuned in. But in truth, the future has not been written yet. So I stand back and I watch the same as you do. This one, who is now in a position of making decisions, is truly good of heart, wants to do the best, but has a certain proclivity born of other incarnations, where he was the leader, where he was the king, who was listened to no matter what he said. And if it was off with their heads, then that's what happened. So there is a a cellular memory that does come through with all of you, memory that is in the cells of the body, faintly. It does not determine what you choose, but it can give you a certain feeling of familiarity, let's put it that way, so that when you make choice, you often go to that which is familiar. So if you have one such as this, one who has been king several lifetimes and knows how to make decisions, trusts his decisions, and has been listened to many times, there is a certain proclivity to make, I will call, quick decisions on things. He has done that just recently and has had to change his mind because not everything worked out as he thought it would. So he is still learning that things move in concert with other energy that is happening and to be open. He is learning that the soul person, one person, is truly a note in the whole symphony. And so it is good to be in tune with the rest of the symphony.
So he's learning on our time, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Great.
But at the same time.
Send him your love, send him your support, not your anger, not your frustration.
Right, exactly. That is what he is sharing with you as you stand back and watch and judge and so forth. Look for the blessing in it. Bless him. Bless everyone involved, anyone who is in the knowing of what is going on. And a lot of you are because your technology brings it right in front of your face, quite literally. So, bless.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking the question. Yes. I can hold.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Here comes a smiling face.
Couple smiling. Hey.
Very good.
Thank you.
Good Hi. Evening.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Hey. I was wondering about, in a, he's a good guy.
Yes. The four-footed one is curious.
Yeah. in Acts 2, where it talks about, like, the baptism of the Spirit, right. When, like, the disciples were in the upper room, I was wondering, what was that? Was that like an encounter of the Christ? Or, and was it unique in the sense like, how there is healing? It seemed like they were able to heal easier after that, or?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There was a quickening of blessing, a quickening of remembrance that I had said often enough to them, same as I have said to you, that you make your own reality. You are blessed. You are the spirit activating everything that you see and judge. Okay. Including the most wondrous furry one. Yes, you are very interested. Curiosity is a very good thing. So I had said to them many, many times also about the ascension, also about healing of the body, all of the things I have shared with you. And they took it to heart. And to mind. And they believed, not only believed the words and the mental, but they had a quickening of spirit. And that is what happened in the upper room. There was a quickening of spirit where they got it. Yes. Cool. Yes.
Awesome. And then it kind of bounced off of each other, I guess.
Oh,
like,
yes.
So one person gets it and another person's like, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Cool.
It is most contagious.
Awesome. And was there like, it talks about like a fire, tongue of fire on their head. Was that just like a metaphor?
A metaphor.
Okay.
Yes.
Just like that they were awakened.
Yes, exactly. All of a sudden they got it.
Like, oh.
Yes. Awesome. And the very follicles of the hair did stand up because sometimes you have experienced if there is a sudden surprise that happens or a sudden occurrence, the hairs on your skin, your arms, and also on the scalp
yeah.
will stand up. And this happened because they Got it. Mm. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Very good. Oh, yes, that is my job. Yes. To the light. Yes. Most wondrous statue. And what is inscribed on the statue is very much a guiding words, guiding spirit.
Did Saint Germain have anything to do with that?
Well, yes, actually. Yes. You have a consciousness that is alive and well, that believes in helping everyone to reach out and give of the fruits of spirit to each and every one if they feel that they are lacking something. There is a desire to give and to be in the place of equality. Now, sometimes that gets cut off momentarily because one say, no, this is all mine. But then the energy wave changes and you come back to the place of the heart. That wave is gathering its strength now. It has been somewhat put in the background for a while for a completion of someone who needed completion with the power of the world. And it plays out as a wave from time to time. It sort of flows, ebbs and flows with this feeling of, I am in charge, I have power, I can say what's going to happen. And yes, you can say what is going to happen, but you cannot always predict what's going to happen from there on in, because you all have the power of spirit. And sometimes that which one person decides may be contrary to what the grouping that is heart-centered wants to do. And so it lasts for a while. And then it flows out and changes. Yes. Yes. Okay. I will give you the talking stick.
I'm just curious about the weather path. Oh,
okay. Yeah, the camera gets right there.
Yeah,
the
camera right there.
I see.
Sorry. I'm just curious about the weather patterning.
Oh, yes.
It just seems like that everything is in chaos with the weather. I mean, it seems like it's changed so much from when I was a child.
It has changed, yes.
And I was just curious about, can you speak more about it or tell us, is it the reasoning of that everything is in chaos and the weather's just mirroring that, or?
All of the above. And in truth, you have only seen the beginning of changes. You are in the midst of, yes, climate change. And is it man-made? No. It has been helped along by some of the things that man has willfully gone ahead with. But your weather over the eons of time on Holy Mother Earth has had a cyclical effect. It changes, and the various parts of the world will change with the energy of the weather. And you are in process now of seeing some of the changes happening. But what you have seen so far is nothing compared to what you will see or your children will see, because this is going to grow upon itself. It is a natural cycle that can be softened as ones will take their power, as ones will understand that they are creating, as you go along, the changes in the weather. You can command the very waves of the sea to be calm. You can command the climate, as it seems to be changing and getting more drastic. You can speak to it knowing that you create your reality, knowing that you create your reality, knowing that you create your reality, and you can calm the effects. If left to itself, it is going to be quite to the extreme as the pendulum swings. Mm-hmm. But there are more and more of you who are waking up to a power outside and yet inside of me, mm-hmm. a power that is greater than what I have recognized up to this point. I do create my own reality. I create that which I experience. Now, there's a clue in that. I experience that which I am creating, as it seems to be. But as you will take charge and command the waves of the sea, the climate that seems to be getting more drastic, command it to be softer, easier, steadier. It will.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for asking that, because you are seeing many changes, climate changes. Mm-hmm. And yes, they are a bit drastic in some places. And you have already remarked on how more places are warmer than they used to be, more places are colder than they used to be, and the climate seems to be changing. But it does not have to go to extremes. You can change it if you want to. You don't have to, but you probably want to. Soften it a bit, yes.
Hello.
Hello.
My cosmic traveler.
Yes.
I don't really have a question. I just want to thank you for the clarification that you gave me this afternoon.
Yes.
It has just changed everything in my thoughts.
Good.
And I just wanted to thank you for that.
You are most welcome.
Because it's very exciting.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is for me.
There is a whole chapter now that you can claim. You can walk into it and you can say, I was there. I did such and such. And now you know it. You can claim it. And that is exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yes.
And I hope to explore more.
Yes.
With you and everyone in here. That yes. I feel like I, you know, can just have it. We can have a blast.
Oh, yes, we will.
So thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Take off.
And,
yes. Very good.
Thank you so much. My space buddy.
Yes, yes, indeed. Can I ask about my cat? That's not. Well, nobody's in line.
It would not be complete without the question about the cats. Yes.
Have any insights as to what's going on with our little panda?
Well, again, the four-footed ones are no different than you in that they create their own reality and how they get along with the two-footed ones. Some are, as you have seen, quite boisterous and demanding. Other ones are a little more timid and wait to be taken care of. And they play different roles at different times because they want to see, the same as humans do, what's the reaction going to be? And so this one is right now playing a role of scripting like an actress would play and waiting for the applause
mm-hmm.
to come.
And then to go to the after party.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So true. Well, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for asking. Most interesting questions.
Interesting life.
Yes, it is. Beloved one, I greet you in love.
And I you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for this week. This has been very powerful for all of us.
Yes, it has been for me too.
Great.
Yes.
So following up on Rena's question about the climate change and our ability to change it, when it seems to, at least to the human mind, that something as big as a fire in California would take more than one person's focusing on it to change it.
Yes.
So are you recommending that we come together and focus on
peace?
Peace.
Yes. Right. And make sure as you are focusing upon the peace and the natural order of growth that you clean your floors.
Clean my floors? You've been around my house lately?
I am in truth speaking as a quote of one of your leaders who said to take care of the floors of the forest.
To rake the forest.
Yes. No, I was making a joke.
Okay.
But there is truth in it, because as ones will tend the forest and give it loving care and attention to it, then you clear out the old debris, and you do not have, when something starts such as that, you do not have the devastation.
Well, now it's also in the urban areas, too, in the canyons and homes that people are living in. So that is even a bigger problem, especially with evacuations and
exactly.
very crowded areas.
Right.
So maybe we can start a prayer circle.
Yes.
Dedicated to those.
Yes. It would be wise. There is much that is happening with your so-called climate that you feel you don't have any power over. But in truth, you do, because it is part, as it comes to your information, it is part of your reality. And as I have said, to the place of almost boredom, you make your own reality. So when you think of your forests, think of them as green and fresh and growing, and it will make a difference. Good. Put that forward.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's something that, as the Hart family, we can put on our list to do for the planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Throw it into your morning meditation. Mm-hmm. Only takes a moment to visualize everything green. Mm-hmm. Okay. I do not mean mold.
Last Sunday, and in preparation for doing my talk at Unity Church, I really got a different sense of us as light beings.
Yes.
I talked about us being light and our very cells being light, not just glowing, but that our DNA needs light, and we are composed of light.
Right.
And it was just like going to a different level with it.
Yes, we are going into a different level.
Well, let's break a move here.
No problem. I enjoy the various tones. Most creative. And I haven't heard that one before.
No, it's a new one. The other part of that is that you have talked about us being holograms.
Oh, yes.
Which means hologram is a light, right?
Right.
So we are children of holograms?
Oh, yes. Right. That is a good way to look at it. Right.
So it's just the vibration that we are in and the frequency that makes us look solid.
Yes.
Because I have seen holograms, you know, some in Disney World and stuff, where they look, you know, you would not be able to tell the difference between a real person and a hologram.
Right.
And so some of us are holograms.
Could be walking holograms. Yes.
That is something for us to consider, because that image of a hologram means that we could do things like put our hands through the walls and do all of those things that light can do.
Right.
So in the future, I'd appreciate if you could give us some instruction on how to change our frequencies, besides the obvious joy. right. changing our frequency higher.
Right.
But other ways in which you and other masters were able to do that and understood that and help us remember that again.
Right. I would be pleased to do that. This was something that I experienced with the masters in the Far East, where we would go into the underground passages that were dark, and we would make our own light. Now we, as I have said to you many times, you are light. Right now you are emanating light. And this can be shown now by your photography. Okay. And so we were lighting up our passageways, the underground passageways, with our own light and increasing the frequency of the light so that we could see where we were going and did not stumble into each other. And as we passed by, the walls of the cavern were alight, lit up, that kind of light, and held the light for some time after we passed by. This was a revelation to me as I experienced it in the beginning, because I thought, oh, we're going down underneath and we're going to have to take a torch with a fire to see where we're going. And the master said, no, you will not need that. You will be able to turn on your own light and you will be able to see where you are going and you will not bump into each other. You know how to change the frequency that is emanating from you. And I thought, like you would think, well, that's a great idea, but the miraculous thing that happened was the suggestion was planted in the mind, in my mind, and I saw the ones ahead of me going in light, and then there was a feeling of exaltation, a feeling of joy, a feeling of lightness, hard to describe. And I did not see my own light at that point, but I saw where to go. And other ones told me when they looked at me, they could see the light, okay. And then over time, as I did more of it, then I could hold my hand out and see the light. You can do this as well, even now, in this time. There is no magic about it. It is your light. And so you can sit in a dark closet, if you wish, and play with it. And you will see, after a moment, it takes maybe a couple of moments, you can see the outline, no light from outside, but just in a dark place, no light. And after a while, there will be light. Let there be light. And it happens.
So is that magic?
It appears as magic, but it is the light that you are putting forth at all time.
That isn't actually the question I had. It's
you have another question.
For Joseph, is his incarnation as St. Francis was...
St. Germain.
Not St. Francis.
No, not St. Francis.
Okay, I was confused.
Francis Bacon.
Huh? Yes.
Francis Bacon.
Was St. Francis?
No. St. Francis was Joseph.
Yeah. Okay, who was St. Francis then?
You will have to ask the expert, the historian.
What was it, Ted?
Kuthumi.
Don't know who that is, but okay.
God bless you.
Thank you. That was it.
Very good. Oh, yes.
I got to get in the camera, though.
Yes, you do. Otherwise, you will be scolded.
I will. How we doing, Bill? Am I in the right spot?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hello, brother.
Hello, brother.
Okay.
Good to behold you.
It's good to behold you as well.
Thank you.
Okay, so when we listen to music, we feel this incredible attraction that stirs us at the soul level.
Yes.
We've been talking about a lot about light, capital L, mind, capital M, could you talk a little bit, and maybe there's not enough time for this tonight, about the sound current, capital S, the soul current, capital S.
Right. When you listen to a piece of music, the tones and vibration, as you become one with it, there is a rising up of the life energy that you are, and even the very plants will resonate with that vibration. That is why some places play harmonious music, not the disharmonious ones, because the plants will react to that. They may not like it any better than you do. Well, of course, some people do like it, but anyway. There is a resonance that you feel, and it uplifts you. Even if you are in a bad mood to start with, music can put you in another space, an easier, happier space. So, some places sometimes have called this the angelic presence, where the angels are singing to you, and you can feel that peacefulness, the energy of it, and it puts you into another very healthy place, healthy for the body and healthy for the soul, where you feel that there is harmony, where before perhaps you were arguing within yourself about, should I do this, should I do that, he said such and such, she said such and such, etc. And the mind is very, very busy. But as you will be in tune, in one, with the music and the tones of the music and even the certain rhythm of it, it allows the whole body, the energy of the body, and the even flow of the blood within the body to become calmer, to become more in order, in a peaceful order. Or you can put on the certain, what it is called, the... I wasn't thinking that far, but yes. I was thinking about the march tunes that have a certain rhythm to them, yes, that pick up the energy and make you want to move with that energy of certain rhythm. But heavy metal, nah, that is heavy. But it serves a good purpose. Because it does stir every cell in the body, whether you like it or not, and it allows a contrast. So everything that you create serves the purpose of allowing you to know the God that you are, or goddess in your case. Yes. All questions are answered. Everybody knows everything. That is fine. One more in the back there.
When did you first discover the world was flat?
When I listened to the comedians that were in my village, the comedians who have come to reincarnate under the name of Timothy John West. And you deny. Yes. I know Denny well. Yes.
So when did you first discover it was round then?
Again, when I was told. Yes.
So how many times do you think your beliefs have changed since your inception into the Jesus body?
Oh, more times than I can count. Because truly, as with you, every day brings a new awareness. I have seen you having several new awarenesses in a day nowadays, as you have the opening that says, I will be open to new ideas. I will be open to new awareness. All of a sudden, that invitation goes out on the airwaves, and you find new ideas coming to you, new people coming to you who say, I believe such and such. And you think, well, I never thought about that. And somebody comes along and says, oh, that can't be true. And then you think, well, is that true or is that not true? And it begins to get the wheels of the mental mind going, but more than that, it gets the inside, eternal, internal vibrations stirred. And that is very good, because then you are beginning to really live. You have felt that in the last, what you would see to be, decade or so, especially. It is growing upon itself. And every day you are inviting, consciously or subconsciously, for new experiences to come. This is true for all of you. This last decade or so has been a time of opening, a time of questioning, and a time of sometimes accepting some answers from yourself. Coming to the place where you say, okay, I feel that to be true. That must be. And so you go along, you mention that to a friend, and they say, well, you know, I've been thinking about that as well. And I thought, and before you know it, you have a whole new set of questions. You thought I was going to say answers, but you do. The answers do come.
So what's the biggest idea you ever threw out when you discovered something new that made you go, ah?
The biggest idea? Mm-hmm. My love for Mary. Hmm. Yes. You know this to be true. When you fall in love with someone, everything you have thought changes. Everything you have ever put forth as the most greatest accomplishment diminishes, because this one who stands in front of you is love incarnate. And everything has to shift, and it does. You know, you've been there. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And will be again.
Yes. Okay. Who's next?
He followed me home. Beloved brother, how are you in this evening?
I'm awesome. I'm blessed. Thank
you. Yes, you are.
Elder brother, ever since I've moved to the United States 40 years ago, a little over 40 years ago, I've started to notice that similarities between events that happened in Iran back then and what's happening here. And is that accurate?
It is accurate.
Okay. Does that mean that at some point we're going to have theocratic government here, just like there is in Iran?
It is not written. In other words, it is open. There is a certain tendency, a certain pathway that could go that way. But as it is seen now, it will not go that way, because you have in this grouping of people quite a variety of ones who are not just of single mind, as you understand. Okay. And so there can be a certain tendency to go that way, but there are other factors at work, other knowings, other habits, it's not the right word that I want. Ancestry teachings of different groups. And so it is not of a single mind that would follow just that pathway.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You have enough of the vegetable soup here.
Yes. Yes, thank you so much.
Very good for asking. Now, beloved ones, the hour has been most pleasurable to spend with you. Is there ever anything that we need to address before we finish this part of the evening? Well, one more. And there is more.
There are two people that would be considered to be fairly well-versed in artificial intelligence, which was Stephen Hawking when he was alive, and Bill Gates, who has a lot of knowledge about computers and,
right,
you know, and their biggest fears were artificial intelligence for the human race. And I'm wondering if there are
aliens or others that are poised to actually interfere with the demise of the human population if that gets to that point where we are threatened. Because I have heard of there's a Russian billionaire that is has quite a following, young guy that wants to put nanobots into our bodies and do away with emotion. And he's quite serious, and he's putting a lot of money towards this. So I wonder what your thoughts are on this subject.
My thoughts are, you make your own reality, moment by moment. There are stories that abound. There are rumors upon rumors that go out. And there are ideas that are exciting, from even the fear point of, oh my goodness, could this be done to me, to my loved ones, to the population that I love? You have the stories, and no end to stories, of what could happen. And yet, moment by moment, you make your own reality. You determine what you believe and how it is going to play out. And remember the usage of that word, play, how it is going to play out. Make each day a happy play. There are always rumors of this, that, and whatever. There is always a story and a rumor about power outside of you that is going to take over insidiously or openly. And it is quite scintillating to read these stories and play with the idea, what if? What if there's an intelligence greater than I? What if I am subject to something more powerful than I am? And you have made lifetimes where you have believed that there has been a power, either in a person or in now with technology and artificial intelligence, whatever you want to fashion as a enemy, or something that would do you a bit of harm, and it is okay to play with it. But come back to the truth of your being. You are a spark of God. You are the extension of the one creative principle, which means that you are going to be every moment as you take breath in this lifetime, every moment, you are creating that which you experience. And if you are in a place where you want to say, there's all of this out there that is bigger and greater than I am, play with it. May it bring you much joy. Or say, I create my reality moment by moment. I create in the image of my Father, Mother, God, Goddess, all that is. Your words, there needs to be a word for the allness of one. Maybe one is a good one. And to take your power and know that you create your reality as you go along. And if you see a four-footed one and you love that one and your heart opens to that one, live in that love. Nothing else exists except love. Allow yourself to be animated by love. Play as the God that you are. Live in the love that you are. Be the cute little angel that you are. And you are, and you are, and you are, and you are, every one of you. You are a spark of divine. Right now, right here, whether you have combed the hair or not, and you have. I do enjoy, I live in joy, being amongst you. May I?
Sure.
You don't even know what I want to do.
No, it's okay.
But it's okay.
Sure.
It's a very trusting, loving soul. Yes, you make a good pair. You play well together. Aha. Now, beloved ones, it has been my great joy to be amongst you in this way, to play with the questions of the mind and to take them to the place of the heart where all love and answers abide. Play with the possibility that there could be something outside of you, and then return home to the truth of your being. Always and forever, you make your own reality. Make it joyful. So be it.
So be it.
Yes. Well, now for the second half of this evening. If